The Shooters Podcast has reloaded and is back on the air, sharing shooting information, facts, and opinions of the shooting sports, the shooting industry, and shooting news. I'm your host. My name is Rick. Welcome to the Shooters Podcast. Gun. Now that can get people's attention. And people react differently when hearing it. Kind of depends on your line of work and your experience. People who've been involved in security work tend to get focused and try and figure out where the gun is. Same for police officers, usually as a warning that, hey, there is a gun. I see a gun right here. If you're shopping in Walmart and you hear somebody yell, gun, well, people react differently. Been a couple of instances when I was in a store and I heard someone say, is that a gun? They were close to me, but not talking to me. Of course, I immediately do a quick check to make sure mine's not visible and see what's going on. And sure enough, it was someone who was carrying a gun and their shirt had slipped up over the holster and the grips of the gun were visible. That was careless, but that's, that happens sometimes if you're not careful. Of course, seeing a gun, some people, can get a lot of attention that way too. Like I just mentioned, someone actually saw someone's gun in their waistband. Now, they didn't freak out, but some people might run and hide. Some people might freeze, kind of like, uh-oh, what's this about? And others, they kind of focus on the circumstances, kind of go into sheepdog mode and go, okay, what's going on with this gun and the person behind it? And what are they doing with it? Are they moving it from one side to the other? Are they putting it in their pocket? What's going on? Or do they see some type of threat that I don't see? All these different things can go through your head when you're thinking, okay, there's a guy with a gun. Of course, common sense would dictate what are the circumstances because, having a gun out, especially in your hand, in public, anywhere, inside a store, out in the park, it doesn't matter. That's interesting. You'd want to look that one over real closely to see what the circumstances were. Now, the word itself, I mean, that can get some kids in trouble in some schools. I think about that or I hear that, and I think back to the times we were playing on the schoolyard as a little kid in elementary school. We had our little finger guns out, and we were running around, pointing fingers at each other and yelling, bang, and I got you, and all that. No, you miss me. There's some people who are some horrible, horrible marksmen out there because no matter who they shot out, everybody else saying, no, you miss me. However, nowadays, with the attitude towards guns or any type of violence amongst each other, that's totally not tolerated. Even the likeness of a gun can get someone in trouble in the schools. Everybody remembers the kid who chewed his sandwich or his bread into the shape of a Model 1911, or basically a pistol, a very small pistol, and they freaked out. It actually became national news, let alone the finger gun, that's been banned, I'm sure, at most schools. It just comes down to the attitude of the people making the rules and how hyped up they can get everybody else about the subject, so that if someone sees a finger gun on the hand of some kid, they freak out and they run to the nearest adult and said, oh, he's pointing his finger like a gun. That's kind of pitiful and ridiculous, but it also shows a high level of ignorance on the subject. And people say, oh, ignorant, that's just a stupid person. No, not at all. That's somebody who does not know very much about a particular subject. Some would say, well, I don't know that much about rocket propulsion because I'm not a rocket scientist. Does that mean they're ignorant? Well, actually, it does mean that they're ignorant of rocket science. My sister, before she passed away, was a rocket scientist. She actually developed missile motors, engines, propulsion systems that, shot rockets into the air. She spent a lot of time in the desert, avoiding that one cloud on the horizon to make sure they had a clean launch. She's the only person I know who carried a satellite phone. And she was very, very busy during Desert Storm because there were issues with the propulsion systems on the SAM rocket system, surface-to-air missiles. So her team was involved in troubleshooting that. So yes, she was a rocket scientist. But she was ignorant about guns. Even though my dad made sure she knew the basic safety of firearms as a little kid, she just wanted nothing to do with them. And she was ignorant about how to shoot them accurately or handle them really well. But she was smart. And when you have an institution like a school where, you know, whatever the adults decide is the rules, that's what they are, period. So there was, of course, another, you know, you got the finger guns, you've got the bread gun. Then there was the young man who was hearing impaired, and his name was Hunter. And when he said his name, he shot his fingers out there like a couple of little guns about being a hunter. And that's his name, Hunter. And the school was not happy. They kind of freaked out about that. Took him a little time to figure out what he was doing and saying, because they couldn't get past the fact that he had just pointed his finger like a gun. So then someone had to explain to a little elementary school kid how he had to indicate some other way to explain what his name was in sign language. And of course, I'm sure he didn't quite understand what the problem was, because in reality, there was no problem. The problem were the people making the decisions and coming up with the fact that, oh, he can't do that. And as usual, most of the negativity around guns is due to ignorance, intolerance, and then, of course, the ultimate, zero tolerance. That's when the ultimate fear, the people who want to control the situation, the narrative, or the speech that people are using, or even how they act and point their fingers, they want zero tolerance, meaning it just, it's not going to happen. If it does, you're out of there. You're expelled, you're suspended, you're fined, or whatever else. It does get pretty ridiculous at times because people get emotional. And once you get emotion into an argument, it's hard to even consider the facts. The fact is that a gun itself has never done a bad thing. We've tried that experiment out at the range. We set one gun off to the side, loaded, with a round in the chamber, sitting on the shooting bench. And we ignored it for over half an hour while we were shooting. And not once at any time did that gun jump up and shoot itself off in any direction at all. It just laid there, like an inanimate object. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I guess that's what it is. It used to be, use a gun, go to prison. Because if you're a criminal and you're doing something bad, that is not good. However, if you use a gun to do something bad, now it's really bad. So you're going to go to prison even longer. They enhanced sentences, meaning instead of getting 5 to 7 years for robbing someone, if you used a gun to rob them, you'd get an extra 5 or 10 years on that sentence. Because if you use a gun, you're going to go to prison. They understood that the criminal is the one who raised the stakes on the crime by using a gun. That made sense. That was irresponsible criminal use of a gun. And so they enhanced the sentence. Now, anymore, it's the gun doing the bad thing. It's gun violence, which is kind of, you know, there's lots of different types of violence. I think it was back in 2015, at one point, there were more homicides in the city of London with a knife than there were in the city of New York with guns. And, of course, I'm not sure, I'm going to do some research now that I brought up the subject to myself, is the fact that the UK was talking about doing a knife registry, because they want to register every knife. And that was several years ago. Not sure where that went, but I'm going to find out. Obviously a future mention in another podcast. But it's not about the gun. It has never been about the gun. It's about the violent criminal. Because if you're someone who will pick up a gun and shoot at somebody intentionally, you are a violent criminal. That's all there is to it. I mean, it seems just black and white. Okay, this is good, that is bad. But some people, they think they can control the outcome of a situation by controlling what's involved in the situation. And that brings us back to ignorance. I mean, people who think that all violence is bad, that is completely, well, it's not even logical. Because self-defense is a good thing. Self-defense saves people. As a matter of fact, self-defense with a firearm saves people 5,400 times every single day in America. And that's your 2 million defensive firearm uses in America every year. No one's going to do the statistics, because I think that even the CDC's kind of been directed to not pay attention to those statistics anymore. The ones that I mentioned, of it was actually not 2 million, but 2 to 3 million defensive gun uses. That was from 2012. It was almost 12 years ago when President Obama said, CDC, put together these statistics. And that was when, and I'd mentioned it before, the people running the gun violence archive said those statistics need to be killed, buried, dug up, killed again, and buried again. They didn't like those statistics one bit, because it's a couple of million times a year that people use guns to defend themselves defensively. Out of, now when they look at all the gun deaths and stuff, everything, we can go into the statistics. However, in the end, there are 8,000 to 10,000 murders in America every year. People say, oh, what about the 30,000 or 40,000 gun deaths? Yes, there are gun deaths. However, statistically speaking, for an actual murder where a criminal takes a gun and goes and kills somebody, there's 8,000 to 10,000 murders in a country of 330 million people. When you hear about a couple of million defensive uses of a firearm, well, the people who are making a business out of reporting the statistics of gun crime, they don't want to hear that, because the numbers of defensive uses dwarf the number of people actually killed. So there are literally a couple million people a year that are saved by firearms. I don't care how ignorant someone is. That's a good thing. I saw recently that Canada is actually considering some laws that would put people in prison for decades, or even up to life in prison, for saying unpopular things. The dreaded hate speech. So they literally, I saw a little clip of Trudeau, the president or prime minister, whatever he is, of Canada, talking about how horrible it is for people to say bad things. And if what they're saying is hateful, then they could be arrested and sent to prison, he said, as it should be. That's the way he worded it. I'm like, as it should be. So if you don't like what I said, you can send me to prison. That doesn't really sound that much like a free country. Kind of makes you appreciate that First Amendment a whole lot more. And Canada has its own constitution. And at some point they said yes, that this was ruled unconstitutional. However, they'll just have to deal with that. And that part is scary from any citizen standpoint. Listening to their government, knowing that something that they're proposing is unconstitutional, and they're just going to have to deal with it. I mean, that's kind of the California attitude of, yes, this has been ruled unconstitutional in 17 states or however many states across the nation, but we're going to implement it as law in California and then make it go through the process because, as usual, these processes take years in states like California. Because they banned any speech towards minors or children that anything about guns that might be attractive to a minor, any advertising, was outlawed. And anybody caught doing it, it's a $25,000 fine right there on the spot. They don't even need a victim. They just need a county attorney or a attorney general of the California or one of their assistants to just say, you were advertising this to children because you put Glock on a pink t-shirt that comes in an extra small size, or you hung a banner at your event for Hornady bullets. You're advertising to children who are present. And as it turns out, the way it's worded is any teacher that talks about guns that might be considered positive, or any instructor who would instruct children on anything about gun safety and such, they are described as a member of the firearms industry, and they are the ones this is targeted against. The individuals, and of course the companies themselves, however, the companies just shut down everything in California and pulled it out. And that's something that the corporations can do. I mean, even if you go to the NRA website, you got to put in your birth date beforehand to prove that you're 18. Because if you're under 18, you're going to see stuff on their website that puts firearms in a positive light. Gun club where I shoot, they've taken their youth program and they've changed it to a parent and grandparent coaching program. So you can teach a parent how to teach their kids. They can even bring their kids along under their direct supervision. They can teach their own children about it. And if they're right there practicing what they just learned, it works. But it's also a major inconvenience, and it looks kind of silly when you're changing names of things to try and conform to a law that's already lost twice in the courts and moving. Hopefully, it would go up as far as the Supreme Court. But again, this takes years. And in the end, I know that that was the ultimate goal of the politicians, is to disrupt a generation in the learning and practicing of the use of firearms. And it was one of the smarter things that they put together. However, the end goal, being totally unconstitutional, will not be achieved. But it does disrupt parts of the industry. The youth shooting sports industry, the Junior Olympics, a lot of things. Even the junior pheasant hunt was changed to the beginner's pheasant hunt at some gun clubs that had these sponsored bird hunts. And in the end, their ultimate goal of trying to disrupt kids learning about firearm safety, they're really shooting themselves in the foot. Yes, pun intended. They're all about wanting to end gun, quote, violence, end quote, and wanting less crime. However, if they looked at the statistics, which they do love their statistics, they would realize that not one of these mass shooters, and I'm talking about the actual mass shooters who've gone to a place in public or a place where they're not supposed to be and started shooting people randomly, not just a drive-by shooting in some gang neighborhood. Not one of these shooters was ever a part of a youth firearms program like Boy Scouts 4-H and the youth shooting sports. Because in those programs, it's ingrained into them how to safely use a firearm and to never even consider pointing a firearm at a person. And they don't generally become criminals because they're a little bit more disciplined. It's the same with certain other sporting activities for kids. Is the more mental discipline they can achieve, the little bit better thinkers they are. They can think things through, and they can do it fairly quickly. They can look at something and go, no, that's wrong. I'm not going to get involved in that, or I'm not going to do that. And so, but not one of those mass shooters was ever involved in a youth program as a kid to teach them how to properly use a firearm. So if they truly wanted to put an end to future violent use of guns, they would encourage and incorporate youth shooting into every aspect that they can, including every school and high school for firearm safety. But again, I could jump on that soapbox and rant and rave. The politicians are having none of it. They want to save children, but they don't want to save them that bad, or else they, you know, where they're going to be supporting the firearms industry by making little customers out of all these kids. No. So we'll leave that one alone for now, as things are being appealed in the courts and studied and everything else. Hopefully they'll come to an end sooner than later. But you'll hear about it as soon as I hear about it. Now the tip of the day. That would be, if you're going to go to the range anywhere, if you're going out in the woods to shoot, if you're going to an actual range, something should always be in your range bag is a stapler and some staples. In your car, you should have some cardboard, some targets, maybe some braces, a couple pieces of lumber, something that you can stand up, staple a target to at a known distance, and shoot at it. And as simple as that sounds, people show up to a gun range that only provides target holders. They don't provide the targets, and they don't have a target. So that's unfortunate. Some people share and kind of resolve the problem, but it's actually happens more often than not. People come to go out shooting, but they kind of forget what they're going to shoot at. Now, if it's some case where they're going to bring out an item to shoot at, be sure to take your item home. However, those are personal decisions. Let's not litter. It's bad enough that people leave their brass laying around. Let's not leave any trash behind. But tip of the day, take stuff for yourself to set up your targets and attach your targets. And on a story on that note, when I went out to the range about a month ago, we had 3 staplers that were on cables at different locations down the range for people to staple their targets onto their cardboard and set them out. All 3 of the staplers were disabled. It looks like they had jammed up or someone attempted to put the wrong staples into the targets. Of course, these are all standard T50 staplers. And they were trying to jam some smaller stapler in there, or someone before them had. And in every case, someone had taken a screwdriver to the back end of the stapler feed ramp and bent it all to, you know, basically made it unserviceable by chewing it up, trying to get staples out or jam staples in or whatever. But all 3 of them were out of action, so they ended up in the trash. And I have parts kits and I can rebuild staplers, but these were beyond repair. So I put 2 more out there, and we've got a couple more in reserve. However, you know, you have to think, are you going to throw good money after bad? If they get destroyed, I'll be out there this weekend. I'll check them out again. Yes, I'm on the board of that shooting range, so we are the ones kind of responsible with maintaining all the equipment out there and all the property that we have stored there. So we'll see. It seems like a very simple thing, just carry your own stapler, but only when you're in a position where you go somewhere, you thought they had them, and they don't because they're all broken, and you end up not, you get to shoot, but you have to figure out something more creative to put your stuff together. So think ahead. I'll be doing more on the range bags in another episode. Take care. That's it for this episode. Thank you for downloading, listening, and subscribing to the Shooters Podcast. Please visit my website at shooterspodcast.com and read and share my shooting blogs.